Hey guys, thanks first off for the feedback, the information, the messages, lots of PMs about it. It helped me clean this up a bit, so this is going to be a good little podcast for you. But also, just as an FYI, like I said in the other ones, I protect myself from me. I'm currently at home waiting for Red Dead Redemption 2 to get delivered, and I also am in the middle of cooking some food. I got some potatoes boiling that I'm going to cut in half and roast up. But it's such a funny thing because it's so easy for me to become a lazy sack of shit today and just play Red Dead Redemption. So I scheduled the date for later this evening so that way I couldn't do that. So that way I have to get up, clean up my house, make sure it's tidied up, clean up myself, and get out of the house. So right there, it's very easy for me to be an introvert and stay at home and not do anything. It's actually really enjoyable to just fuck around and veg out and be lazy, but I gotta protect myself from me. So planning things so that way, like anything else, I would have could have easily blown off. But like a new date, first date with a hot chick, I'm like, okay, we'll do that 6:30. I got a little time to play, and then I can get out of the house. The other thing is eating unhealthy. I was out last night, went up to Flagstaff, drove back home, tired this morning. Very easy for me to get up and just go get a breakfast burrito or something from somewhere. And that's unhealthy. So instead, I'm making a steak and some potatoes. Maybe you can hear Callie in the back if you do. She's begging for more food, even though I already fed her. So the topic of this is going to be approach anxiety. And it was interesting. A couple of the ones that stood out to me was someone on Facebook was talking about how not knowing how to convey his strongest points in the approach and conversation, and not knowing how to keep up the conversation without any awkward, weird silences or pauses. That's interesting. Technically, that is something else. That is actually the next piece of the puzzle, which we can get into if you guys want. Let me know and I'll get into that, because I had tons of trouble with that and I had to figure out a way to do that. That basically came down to conversation steering and transitions, and once I figured those pieces of the puzzle out, I was pretty squared away. But I can understand how not being prepared for step 2 and 3 can fuck you up at step 1. The other one that I got that really stood out was an email, or I think it was actually a comment on the blog, and then it came to me in an email, was a very similar thing, thinking I was going to get shot down, being laughed at by women, thinking other people were going to laugh at me, being outcome dependent, and then again, bad eye contact, talking too fast, those kind of things. So interesting, because a lot of that stuff is pretty easily solved and rectified. If you're worried about what to say, how to say it, then practice it. If you're worried about eye contact, talking too fast, work on it. That's really one of the best reasons to use canned material. Even if you're not going out hitting on women. I remember my wingman and I would go out, and sometimes we just weren't feeling it. And we're like, you know what? We're going to go out and just have fun tonight. We'll talk to people, but we don't care about anything. We're just going to have fun tonight. And that was a great goal, because so many guys get into pickup and don't have fun and going out and talking to women and don't enjoy it. And they also just become like PUA drones that are just creepy dudes to be around because they're so into this stuff. But those were the nights that we had like the most fun, the biggest breakthroughs. And also, if I wanted to decide in the middle of the night, like we'd go out, we're having a good night, I'm like, you know what? I'll do a couple of approaches, or I'll do some small talk. Then those turned into some of the best nights. But also because of that, because I had really lowered that bar, I was able to focus on different things. Like him and I were really into magic, like playing cards, magic tricks, all that kind of stuff. I've liked it since I was a kid. I actually quit doing it because someone made fun of me when I was in school. And I got back into magic when I read the game, because I was like, you know what? Fuck that, man. I'm not going to let some guy who I don't even like, who I haven't seen in like 15 years, who made fun of me, control my life. Like, that's a crazy way of thinking. So that was one of the first things I did when I got into pickup was I was like, I'm going to get back into magic because it was so much fun. I didn't even really plan on doing it for pickup or anything. It was just for fun. Anyways, the nights that we went out and just did that and focused on just having fun were amazing. But also what I did is I focused on like little things. Like when I was out talking to people, didn't care what I was saying, I could focus on things like eye contact or body posture or vocal projection or vocal pacing or hand gestures or all those other things that I had to work on. Like each little thing you guys might be dealing with, you guys might have to work on some of them. I had to work on all of them. Then the nights we'd go out and just set the bar real low, like, hey, we're just going to do 10 cold approaches. That's where the can material would also come in, where I could be like, okay, I'm going to do 10 cold approaches, but I'm going to focus on this. And those were the nights that really we had some big breakthroughs, because it was a little piece of the puzzle and I didn't realize how important it was until I actually got better at it. But those are the ways to kind of mostly work on that. But the other feedback I got was really what I was thinking that I was going to hear. And I do this with every one-on-one guy, any serious phone coaching student, not a guy who just gets one call, but like guys who are buying blocks of calls. We eventually get to the point where they're dealing with approach anxiety. And I'll talk to them and I'll tell them my story. And this is how I got over approach anxiety. And and you guys can follow along and do this. But this is how I got over it and how it basically became reframed into approach excitement. So last time I had approach anxiety, I remember it was before I'd moved to LA. I was out with my wingman. We were out at a bar and smoking hot Asian chick comes walking by. Him and I had split up. I liked mostly being by myself. He liked having a wingman. I liked doing it on my own, because my thought was, if I can't do it on my own, then I really don't deserve her. So I liked going to the bar, splitting up. I'd go to the back patio bar. It was this, any of the guys who do the boot camps or anything with us, I've taken them to this place. I've shown them the spot. But really hot, smoking hot Asian chick comes walking up, and she's like even in like an Asian style dress, like one of those Chinese red dresses. I can still perfectly envision her. She walks up and she's standing in front of me facing away, so I'm basically looking at her back and her butt. And I think even jokingly I looked up in the sky and I was like, thank you, God. Thank you for putting this beautiful creature right in front of me. And so I'm like, all right, cool. Smoking hot girl. I see what she's doing. She's looking to the left and right, like looking for someone, looking for friends, it looked like. So I was like, oh, perfect, man. This is it. I'm going in. Thanks, God. And I went to move, and my feet were glued to the ground. Like, I couldn't even move them. Couldn't even move them if I wanted. If the place was on fire or anything, I wouldn't have been able to move them. Oh, just had to do a quick pause. So hopefully there's not a weird jump in a weird part of the story. Anyways, I see her standing there looking around for her friends, and I'm like, wow, thanks, God. And I don't know if Callie's going to be quiet. Let me tell this story. She's yawning up a storm. Anyways, I couldn't move my feet to save my life. And the window of opportunity was wide open. Just had to pause it again. Sorry, guys. Anyways, the window of opportunity was still wide open. She was standing in front of me. She was looking around left to right. Took a step to the right, looked around again, took a step to the left, looked around again. Windows wide open. And instead of trying to talk to her, I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm just going to close this window. So I literally reached over and closed it. She didn't know that I was sitting there for 10, 15 seconds like a weirdo looking at her. Oh, that only existed, that moment, that reality only existed in my mind. She was completely unaware of it. But anyways, I decided not to approach her, and like I jokingly said, closed the window of opportunity on myself that was still open. It was closing, but it was still open. And she looked around, took a step, looked around, took a step, and walked away. And I just like, oh, fuck, man. God damn it. Why didn't you fucking approach her, man? Smoking, one of the hottest girls I've ever seen in my life. A minute later, my wingman comes up. He's like, hey, man, how's it going? I'm like, horrible. Just had crippling approach anxiety. Didn't talk to this girl. He's like, it's okay. Let's go. Let's talk to some other girls. And I think that night turned into like one of my best nights ever. I think I ended up getting like 10 numbers that night. And there was one of them that was like a brunette. I think I got her and her friend's number. She was this hot little brunette that we'd seen there a few times that both of us had approach anxiety and not talked to. And finally, I was like, every time I would see a girl that was hot, I was like, all right, I gotta go talk to her. And as soon as I was out of set, I would just think about the Asian girl. And I was like, damn it, why didn't I talk to her? And I remember that night we went and debriefed, and it should have been a happy night. But all I could think about was how I didn't approach. And then that night I went home, just brushing my teeth, looking at myself in the mirror, and just going, man, you're such a loser. Why are you such a fucking pussy? Why can't you talk to that? Why couldn't you talk to her? Why couldn't you talk to girls? I remember being in bed that night alone, staring at the ceiling and just thinking about my ex and how she was already in bed with another guy. And I woke up the next day, went to work, and any free moment I had while I was at work, that girl popped in my head. And it sucked. It just destroyed me. Like, all week, every second, it just made me feel like shit. So that's where I figured this out. So all week, I'm feeling like shit over this one woman who I didn't even talk to. And it's really not her, it's me. I'm disappointed with myself. So I was like, okay, if I would have approached, what's the worst thing that would have happened? And so for all my students, and if you guys want to follow along, get a piece of paper, and like a fresh piece of paper, and flip it sideways. And I have all my guys draw a line from left to right across it. And right in the middle, do a dash and put a zero there. And everything on the right is positive up to 100, and everything on the left is negative down to negative 100. So zero in the middle, all the way at the right, put another dash, put a plus 100. Everything all the way at the left, put a negative 100. So we basically have a number line. So I go, okay, let's try to figure out what's your biggest fear. And so for me, it was being rejected, hardcore rejection. And that's just the way to simplify it. It could be your friends, it could be her, it could be, she could tell me to fuck off, she could, whatever. But it was just basically a hardcore rejection is the way that we've summarized it through years and years of teaching to kind of just simplify it. So that was like negative 90. And then I have a lot of students who are like, oh, well, what if her boyfriend comes out and punches you? Or what if she throws a drink in your face? And I'm like, has that ever happened? And they go, no. And I go, okay, well, that happens in movies. That doesn't really happen in real life. So let's just deal with reality. Because she could also turn into a serial killer or like an escort and kidnap me and drug me and steal one of my kidneys. Like, it doesn't happen to me. It hasn't happened to anyone I know. I'm not going to put that on the list. But hardcore rejection, yeah, that's happened to me. And it's happened to a lot of people I know. So let's put that down. And I put that like as a negative 90. I was like, all right, well, negative 100, I have to kill myself over. So let's say it's like a negative 90. Well, I mentioned this in the last little podcast and post I did, but I didn't even think about this. But the very first private student I ever had when I started my own company, his biggest fear was being ignored, just completely ignored. And when he told me that, I was like, wait, ignored? Like, it just, I couldn't even wrap my head around it because it's never happened to me. And I've never even thought about it happening. Like, I guess I'm just a little too confident or a little too loud, a little too much energy to ignore. But he was very shy and timid. And so I remember I asked a follow-up question. I was like, wait, what about like a hardcore rejection? Wouldn't that like be worse? Because it is for me. And he goes, no, at least if they rejected me, at least they'd be acknowledging that I exist. But when they ignore me, like, they're not even doing that. And he actually started to tear up a little bit. And I was like, fuck, that sucks. But to me, like, being ignored, I instantly was like, oh, well, I would just say, like, make a joke. Like, oh, did I get in a car accident on the way to the bar tonight? And am I a ghost? Like, can you not see me? Like, instantly, just my improv mind came up with a little funny line or something. But since then, I still have never just been ignored. But I've had multiple other students bring that up. So the interesting thing is, depending on the person, depending on who you are, one of those is worse than the other. Like, one guy, like for me, being the hardcore rejection is like the worst of the two. For other guys, they're like, oh, yeah, being rejected, at least they acknowledge me, but it being ignored is like negative 99. And I've had that happen once, and it was the worst thing ever, and I can never experience it again. But that's it. Those are always the two things that we come up with that are the negatives. And that's it. That's all we can come up with. And I asked the guy right before we get to the next part, I go, is there anything else that you can come up with? Anything else that you could imagine that's a negative from? And we label this number line at the top, possible outcomes from an approach. And he goes, no, that's it. And I go, okay, cool. Let's get to the positives. And I'm gonna simplify it, but this is a longer drill that we do. And I start asking him, okay, like, what's a positive that can happen from a cold approach? And they're like, oh, I can get laid. And I'm like, whoa, let's kind of go up in order, keep it simple. Because getting laid, that might be like your positive 99 or something. And everyone always does that too. I go, what if you just get like a kiss? And they're like, oh, that'd be an 80. And so what really happens fast is that the positive high numbers fill up very quickly. But it's because they've never done this before. They've never done this mental drill. And I'm like, well, what if you just go and open and you have a successful cold approach, and you have small talk with her, and she's a lovely person, she's pretty, and you talk to her and you guys have a great conversation for a few minutes. Like, wouldn't that be an amazing skill set to have and be able to pull off whenever you want? And the guys are like, oh yeah. And I go, okay, where would that be? And some guys are like, oh, that'd be 75. And I was like, ooh, okay. Well, it's your number line, so there's no wrong or right answer. Stick it in wherever you want. So if you guys want to do this and do this mental drill, which, you know what, would be a really wise thing to do so you guys get the same experience. If you want, pause this right now. And, well, let me rewind. Don't pause it right now. Let me finish this sentence, and then as soon as I do, pause it. So try to come up with as many examples of positive things that can happen from a cold approach, and write it in on your own number line wherever you want. It could be a positive 1, or it could be all the way up to a positive 100. Like, any little scenario you can come up with. And I give the guys a couple minutes to do this, and they usually only come up with 5 or 6. So if you want to do that, try to come up with more than 5 or 6. If you want, I mean, fuck, take a picture of it. Email it to me. I love seeing it because that's information for me and helps me become a better coach. So if you can do that, I would appreciate it. But anyways, if you want to do that part of the drill, just like we're doing a one-on-one, pause this and go through it, and then unpause it when you come up with all the positives that can happen. So pause it now if you're going to do that. All right, I'm going to assume that you did that, or assume you're one of the guys who just, I'll just do this in my head. I don't need to go through this. It is pretty helpful if you do this in paper. It hits deeper if you actually do that instead of just listening. But it's okay. I understand. I'm one of those guys too who just listen, even though I told you it was better. Usually what happens is the guys only come up with a handful of things. One of them's like a kiss. One of them's a number close. One's getting laid. One's a girlfriend. And I'm like, well, the small talk, what about that example? And the guy's like, oh, that's pretty good. I go, okay, what about medium talk? Like, you talk to a girl and it's like a 5 or 10 minute conversation. Where would that go? What about long talk? Like, where you meet someone, maybe on a flight, you have a great interaction with them, it's 3-4 hours, but you just know you're never going to see them again. Where would that go? And they put that down. And I go, for whatever reason, you don't get the phone number. But let's say the next one, you do talk to the girl. It could be small talk, medium talk, or long talk, and you end up getting a phone number. Where would that go? Number closing. And they're like, oh, yeah, that'd be like a 70 or an 80 or wherever they stick it in. And I go, okay, but you call her and you never hear from her. So the next girl you talk to, you get her number, you number close her, and then you call her, and now you're doing some phone game. Now you're actually talking to her on the phone. But again, for whatever reason, it doesn't turn into a date. Where would that go? And they stick that high. And I go, okay, well, now let's say you go on a date. First date, where does that go? Either you met the girl in person and you guys planned the date. Maybe you had to get her number, talk to her on the phone a bit. Maybe you had to text, whatever the reason. You ended up getting a date. First date, where'd that go? Now, where would a woman that you go on a second date with, or multiple dates? Okay, great. Stick that on the number line. And then what about a girl that you kiss close? Either on the end of the first date, the end of the third date, whenever it is, but you guys have a really good, awesome kiss. Where would that go? And then where would making out, like hardcore passionate making out, go? Where would an infield kiss go? Like, you met the girl at the bar or club and then you're making out with her that night. Where would that go? Would that be higher or lower? The interesting thing is a lot of guys say that would be lower than like a meaningful kiss from a girl that they've actually gone on a few dates with. But some guys, they're like, nope, I've never done anything like that. That would be higher because that's crazy in my world. And I'm like, okay, cool. No wrong or right answers. This is your number line. Stick it where you want. And then we just continuously go up the list. Multiple dates. What if we end up having sex? Where would that go? Where would hand job, blow job go? And then I make a joke about that. Which one's better? And depending on what type of guy you are, where would anal sex go? Where would threesome go? Where would not just sex, but like a same night lay? Would that go higher or lower? What if this turns into a girlfriend? What if this turns into like one of the serious girlfriends, one of the loves of your life, which I've only had a couple. But what if it turns into one of those? What if it turns into a good friendship and you guys just become good friends? Where would that go? That'd be cool. These are all positives. Where would she becomes a good friend and then you end up meeting one of her friends, and then now everything that we're doing happens to one of her friends? Where would that go? What if we end up getting engaged? What if we end up getting married? What if we end up having children? What if this woman becomes the love of my life? What if we end up having kids, and then we both grow old together, and our kids have kids, and we're out on the patio sitting in rocking chairs and watching our grandkids play in our yard with the dogs? Like, where would that be? Because maybe to me, that's my 100. But earlier, the guy's sticking in just small talk or a number close at like an 85. And I'm like, how can that be an 85? Because we can come with all these other scenarios too. Like, just what if she turns into an FB, a fuck buddy? What if she turns into just casual sex? All these different things. And you can come up with a million more. But very quickly, the positive side of this number line gets really full. So full that they have to go down on the bottom of the page and make more room. And then I always ask them, okay, now you got to reassess those numbers. Because, like, just being able to number close, is that really like an 85 or is that like a 10? Because that's not that high in the big picture. But to them, from their perception, it is. Anyways, the point of all this is, when it's all said and done, just like mathematically you figure out what's the worst that can happen, the possible outcomes from the approach. So when I saw that girl and didn't talk to her, I just was like, man, all these things could have happened. All of these things, all the positives could have happened if I just tried. But I didn't. And the worst thing that would have happened, like I said, gambling, rolling the dice, one or two negatives, or all these positives could have happened. But then something clicked in my head, and this is the key takeaway, is that the worst thing that could happen, I didn't even write down, even though I was living it. It was not approaching. It was getting approach anxiety and freezing. Because at least if I would have tried and I would have been rejected or I would have been ignored, at least if I would have tried, I wouldn't be beating myself up all week. I would have gone, hey, at least I tried and I can get better. But at least I fucking tried. So then it clicked in my head that the two negatives aren't even real negatives. Getting hardcore rejected or being ignored. If you're a private student of mine and I give you a homework assignment to go out and do 20 cold approaches, which is one of your first homework assignments, and you came back and I go, how was it? And you're like, man, it was brutal. I got blown out 20 times, like 20 times in a row. A, that's useful information because now I have something to work with. But B, I'm really fucking proud of you. Because a guy who has 20 easy cold approaches, I'm like, okay, good job. But a guy who has 20 hard ones, who sticks with it, that's like a really overweight person who keeps going to the gym over and over again. That's more impressive than a guy who's in good shape who goes to the gym, right? So if you just would have approached, if I just would have approached, the worst thing that would have happened is I would have been able to look at myself in the mirror like a man. I would have been proud of myself. That's the worst thing that would have happened. I might have got rejected by a woman who I don't know, who could be crazy, who could be nuts, she could be a bitch. She doesn't know who I am, so she's judging me on who she thinks she knows who I am. And I don't know, why would I give away so much power to a complete stranger? Like, that never made sense to me. But let's say she did reject me. I'd go, okay, that stings. But my own perception of myself would still be intact. I'd be able to look myself in the eyes when I was brushing my teeth that night. And all week, I wouldn't be beating myself up over not approaching. So in my mind, I was like, all right, if I get these, like the scales of justice, the old scales where it's left and right, they weigh gold and stuff on it. I was like, all right, if I would have approached, what's the worst thing that would have happened? A couple seconds of awkwardness. That's it. That's the worst thing that would have happened, a couple seconds of awkwardness. But instead of eating a couple seconds of awkwardness right now, I went over and closed that window of opportunity. And I went, you know what? I'm going to hold off on it. I'm going to push this away just a little. I'm going to wait till now. And instead of a couple seconds of awkwardness just a few seconds ago, I'm going to eat a ton of shit, which is regret and remorse, which is way worse. So if you have those scales, imagine those scales in your head. A couple seconds of awkwardness, that's like putting a rock or two on one side. And obviously that's worse. But couple seconds later, now I start putting big rocks, big boulders, so much more on that other side of the scale, regret and remorse. Those are much worse, much more painful, much more powerful emotions and feelings than just awkwardness. So I was like, if I really added it up all week, every time I thought about this girl and how disappointed in myself I was, it was hours and hours and hours of time. And I call it hours of suck time or hours of eating shit. And I went from avoiding a few seconds of awkwardness to hours and hours of regret and remorse. So that next week was rolling around, and I was like, all right, I got to go out and cold approach. I got to go talk to girls. I don't care. The hotter they are, the better, because there's no fucking way I'm going to put myself through this again. And that's what it all came down to, is it was all in my control. All the other stuff, what do I say, how do I say it, those are all things I can work on. But stepping up to the plate, that's a Babe Ruth quote, one of my favorite quotes. Never let the fear of striking out prevent you from stepping up to the plate. I wasn't even stepping up to the plate, but at least if I stepped up to the plate, I knew I wouldn't have to eat shit for hours and hours and hours for the next week. And I knew that I could at least look myself in the eyes. And I knew that was the first step to getting better, because if I wasn't approaching, I couldn't practice. So the next week I went out and I was like, you know what? I'm excited. I don't have approach anxiety. Fuck that. Anxiety is a negative emotion. Excitement's a positive. Now, they're pretty similar. Like, they're branches on the same tree, but anxiety is like a dead branch that looks like shit. And excitement is like a positive branch full of green leaves, big apple on it. Like, that's a good one. So I was like, I don't have anxiety this week. I have excitement, because I'm excited that I get to go cold approach and not feel like shit and like a fucking loser again all week. So anyways, that's how I reframed approach anxiety to approach excitement. That was the last time I ever saw a woman close that window of opportunity on myself just to avoid it. And then the funny thing is, like, I don't know about you guys, but for me, you know, it's almost like I have sonar. Like, I'll see a woman like that I ping, like sonar submarines. I ping off her and I get that ping back, like in submarine movies. And when I feel that, like, the old me, the AFC version of us, would avoid that. But when I feel that and I get that butterfly feeling in my stomach, like, that's one of the few times I feel alive. And for whatever reason, that woman is triggering that in me, is making me feel that way. Like, why the fuck would I want to run away from that? Like, that's one of the most magical feelings in the world. That's one of the most magical feelings in my existence. Why would I want to run away from that? So now for me, anytime I get that feeling, I have to approach. I get excited because I'm like, all right, I get to see what that's about. I get to figure out who this woman is and where that's coming from, and see if we're going to click and see if she's going to have a positive impact in my life, and if she's going to spend some time in it or not. Now, sometimes, a lot of times actually, it just turns out it's the looks. Because when I start talking to her, there's no connection. There's no emotional connection. There's nothing else there. But when I was recently divorced and just getting into this, yeah, looks was enough for me to be happy for a while. Nowadays, it's not even close. The date I'm going on tonight, beautiful, beautiful girl. And I could take it or leave it. Doesn't even really matter. But we talked on the phone, and she actually seemed like a really cool, good person. And we clicked on a few things. So because of that, I'm excited. Now, obviously, I wouldn't even talk to a woman. I'm not – well, I don't want to say talk. I wouldn't be planning a date with a woman I'm not even – physically attracted to. Like, that's a given now. But now I get excited when there's more than that, when there's actually something special going on. And like, we met online, and one of her pictures was she was shooting a gun, another picture was she was doing a martial arts class. And I was like, oh, okay, now there's something, there's some potential here. Anyways, I gotta get back to cooking my potatoes. I gotta pull off, I'm just boiling them, I'm gonna cut them in half and kind of roast them up in the cast iron, do something a little different with them. And I got a steak that I've had sitting out that I'm bringing to room temperature that I'm gonna grill the hell out of it, my cast iron. I really miss, that's one of the few things I miss from Flagstaff, was having a real grill outside. I can't have it in my building, so I've gotten some pretty decent skills on my new cast iron. It's not as good as the grill. It's a lot easier though, but it stinks up the whole house. But it's nice, but fuck, I miss that grill. Anyways, approach anxiety. Yeah, this was a big breakthrough for me. This is what got me over that hump. And then if you guys want, like I said, we can talk about the other stuff, but it was real simple. A hello, a hi. I mean, I've winked at a girl. I winked at her. I was at my old wingman Gypsy's birthday party before we moved to LA. And there's a really attractive girl over at the bar. And I winked and nodded. And she came over. And we ended up dating a little bit. So, I mean, I've winked. I've used a wink to open and find someone to date. So it doesn't really matter what. Like the universal openers, hello, hi. Like guys who are really into pickup might think that stuff's lame, but that's been working for years and generations. So it really comes down to just conveying that you're a cool guy, some positive energy, in an awkward, compressed time frame. And so that way you give her an opportunity to recognize how awesome you are. And that's really what you're trying to do. Now, the problem is if you're not really awesome yet, then that's where the trouble is. But guys, a lot of you guys are fucking awesome already. Most of you guys are. You're just not good at conveying it. So we can work on that. But the guys who aren't awesome, aren't confident, aren't proud of themselves, aren't living a life they're proud of and happy with, like getting those things in order first really helps out. Because when you're a man of value, not just with women, but just with people, it's a lot easier to connect with them when you have something to offer. So whether it's just positive energy or funny stories or whatever. So I already did. I didn't recognize that at the time, but I did. And it was pickup that got me realizing I was. But really, it was getting over that hump. That approach anxiety was the hardest thing for me because I could, if I had a few beers, if I pumped myself up for like 20, 30 minutes, maybe I'd get the guts to go and ask for a phone number. But it was finally realizing that the worst thing that's going to happen is I try. The worst thing that happens is I get to look myself in the mirror at night and be like, yeah, man, you tried. Because that's so much better than the old version of you. I showed up. That's another quote I love. 80% of life is showing up. So that's it. I showed up. I tried. Not just showing up sitting at the bar like all these other douchebags, just sitting there drinking a beer. Like I showed up. I tried. So that became such a powerful experience for me. And it bled over to so many other areas of my life. The confidence I got from that just was priceless. So for you guys, if you guys were private students of mine, I'd be telling you 20 cold approaches this week. Make sure they're with women that you find attractive. Obviously, if you need to lower the bar a little bit, you can because you're so overwhelmed with the anxiety. But really, if you were a real student, I'd be like 20 cold approaches this week. No excuses. Don't do them all one night. Spread it out. Just like eating healthy, you can't eat healthy once a week. You need to make it your average. You need to make it your default. You need to be eating healthy 4 to 5 times a week. Well, if you want to get good at this stuff and good at talking to women, you got to be social. And you can't be social one night of one day of one week. Then that means for 6 5/8 of the week, you were not social. So you need to go out 3-4 nights a week and be social. You don't have to spend all this money at the bars. You don't have to go out to loud clubs. You could just go to Starbucks, go to Whole Foods, make some small talk while you're there. But break out of that shell. And that was what I did. And yeah, the results, I mean, I'm living proof that this works and the results are pretty amazing. And that's what all the guys I work with, they all go through this. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed this. If you guys dug it, let me know. And it's funny. It seems like, especially nowadays, so many people are worried about social justice warriors, PC police, all that kind of stuff, that more and more of the feedback I'm getting from you guys is emails or private messages because you don't want it to be public. So totally fine with that. I love it. I love feedback from all you guys. So however you want to send it to me, get it to me. I totally get it. And just like always, your secret's safe with me. And I mean, look at the shit I post. I put myself out there and really nothing happens. But I understand some people, it can come back to bite you, especially with so much negative shit surrounded with the PUA world, which is why I'm not a part of it. But give me some feedback if this helped you. Give me some feedback if you have questions, because if you guys dig this and I get that feedback, there'll be more of these. But anyways, I'm going to get to cooking, and I hope you guys all have a great weekend. And by the next time I check in, I will probably have not beaten, but I'll definitely be playing Red Dead Redemption 2. So I'll let you guys know how it is. Later, guys.